As you can see from the bulletin this morning, I'm going to ask you to consider your legacy. This will require you to have an honest introspection, which the Bible says is actually difficult for us. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart, Proverbs 21 and 2. The Bible also says that if we have the right kind of heart, that we can do it. We can honestly reflect on ourselves. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Proverbs 20 and 5. My experience with this is that as I ask you to consider your legacy this morning, we will start out probably doing a pretty good job. But it might not take long until we start looking at others around us, comparing ourselves with others. Well, I might have areas of improvement, but at least I'm not so-and-so. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 4 through 5, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." I've said it before, we are not standing at the judgment together as a congregation. The congregation is here to help one another on the way to that judgment. But we will stand on our own at judgment. And just because your name might be written on our Google spreadsheet does not mean that that name will be transcribed into the book of life. Hope we can honestly reflect on that. Philippians 2:12 says, "You need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Fear and trembling references the seriousness, the earnestness, the resolve that we should have in this endeavor. The reason I'm asking you to consider your legacy this morning is that as elders, we are called to watch. We are called to warn, and we are called to wait. But we are not righteous or worthy enough to be your final judge. In Romans 14, we read, "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat." It also says, "So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another." So this morning is not a judgment. I don't want you to take it as a judgment, but it is a warning. And I hope we have the right hearts to accept it. So this morning, consider your legacy. There were many recent things. I wrote down four, but there's more, but I'm only going to go through four of them. Four recent things that have made me think a lot about legacy recently. Last weekend, Ginger and I finally wrote our will. We had Michelle, she's a notary public, and she notarized it for us last weekend. And along with paying to have that will done, I received an online ebook by Dave Ramsey that's called The Legacy Journey. So I've been listening to that too, thinking about legacy. These are maybe financial legacy things, but I think there is some spirituality that can probably go along with that. Not really going to talk about the financial legacy part this morning, but it is important, and I think there are spiritual things that go along with it. Actually, this morning, Theo came up to me and he said, "Look at my new shirt, Papa." And I said, "That's a nice shirt." And he says, "I went to Goodwill." So that has a lot to say probably with Ginger and I's financial legacy that we've left our children But it also has a lot to do with the spiritual legacy. Proverbs 11:27 says, "He who seeks good findeth goodwill." So that's important as well. The other reason I've been thinking about legacy is something called the Rule of 88. The Rule of 88. Some of you might not know what that is. If you're a teacher, you know what that is, because it's a math equation that you add up every single year of your career. But you constantly are adding up. You take how many years you've taught, and you add to it your age, and if it comes up to be 88, then you are fully invested in IPERS, and you should be talking with them about your retirement. Tomorrow, I'm depressed, I start my 32nd year of teaching. And I will be 56. I'm done counting. It's very surreal. I'm not retiring. But I am done counting. And it's just really an amazing thing for a teacher to not be counting that anymore. It's something we literally do. Like, I just can remember when I first started thinking, oh, wow. It's a long ways to 88. And then it's done. Instantly, it's done. And so that's made me think a lot about my legacy in the world. Have I had an influence on my students, my colleagues? Is there a legacy that I can leave in this world? And that's also not kind of the legacy I'm talking about, but I think also, again, that's a related thing. In your employment, in your jobs, that's where you're in the world the most with other people. What impression do you leave on them? What kind of legacy are you leaving with them? Is your light shining? It can obviously be related to a spiritual legacy, which we're wanting to talk about this morning. Third, but I was thinking about this a lot, probably was the trigger for me thinking about this, was 2 weeks ago, Ginger celebrated her 52nd birthday. That was the last birthday that my mom celebrated. 3 months later, she passed away. And so I started thinking, that's pretty young. And I started thinking about her legacy, things that she left behind for me and my family. And everything I think about with her legacy is spiritual, every part of it. Is spiritual. So what are we doing now? I'm 4 years older than my mom when she passed away. What kind of legacy are we leaving, even if our life seems short and it's cut down tomorrow or 3 months from today? The last thing I was thinking about a lot, and I've talked about this already a little bit up here, was when we were cleaning out the rooms and we were making the new office space back there. I found 3 books. It was all the same book, but it was 3 copies of the same book. And it was the Dean Avenue's 50th anniversary of their congregation in 1971. That was the year after I was born. And I read through that book, and it had lists, had the role of all the members at Dean Avenue at that time and how the congregation got started and the evangelists that were involved in that and the people that helped with purchasing the building and building the building and everything. And I read through it, and the elders all had a page on there where they talked about their hopes and their dreams for the congregation in the next 50 years. And all their excitement the last 50 years before that on what they'd been able to accomplish. Their next 50 years ended in 2021. And I thought a lot about what the hopes and the desires for the elders, what they wrote in there. And I was considering, did that happen? Did that pan out? What was the spiritual legacy that was left? It If the Lord allows me to live, I will be almost 90 years old when this congregation reaches its 100-year anniversary. Are we providing a spiritual legacy here? Second Kings 22 and 13. We have the story about Josiah rebuilding the temple. And Hilkiah, the high priest, as he's working in the temple one day, finds the book of the law. They hadn't been following or even reading the book of the law for all the way through the Kings. And he gives it to Shaphan, the secretary, and the secretary takes it to Josiah, and Josiah opens it and reads it. And he's scared. And he writes this: "Go and inquire the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, and they have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." I think that is a very sad passage. Our fathers did not follow this book and did not act in accordance concerning us. They had a responsibility for us, and they didn't pass this down to us. It is a warning for us that I want us to consider. I hope that in the year 2059, if there is still a remnant of a congregation meeting here at 5091 East University, Pleasant Hill, Iowa, that is not said about us. That those that went before us did not act in accordance with what is written in God's word concerning us. I hope I don't have a great, great grandchild that says that. When Josiah says their fathers had not done right by them, he knew what he was talking about. Josiah's father was Amon, and the Bible says he was evil, just like his father, who would be Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh. 2 Kings 21, 20 through 21. Amon did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. He walked in all the ways of his father. He worshipped the idols his father had worshipped, and he bowed down to them. He forsook the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the ways of the Lord. Manasseh's father and Josiah's great-grandfather was King Hezekiah. So we have Josiah, we have Amon, Manasseh. His great-grandfather was King Hezekiah, and you might remember him as being a fairly good king, a fairly good king. So how did this happen? How did this skip these two generations? Hezekiah was the person who was so good that when he prayed to God, when God said, "Put your house in order, your time has come," Hezekiah wept and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and said, "I will give you 15 more years of life." 15 more years of life. What did he do with his additional time? In 2 Kings 20, we're going to eventually read 16 through 18, but these people came from a distant land to show up after they had heard about Hezekiah being healed and was allowing to have more time by God. And they came and they talked with Hezekiah, and Hezekiah, in his pride, took him through all the storehouses and the temple, and "Look at all the things that we have. Look at my financial legacy, everything that we have here." And Isaiah comes by later after these men had left, and Isaiah says to King Hezekiah, "What did those men say, and where did they come from?" Hezekiah said, they came from a distant land called Babylon. And Isaiah said, what did they see in your palace? And Hezekiah said, they saw everything in my palace. There is nothing among all of my treasures that I did not show them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day, all of the financial legacy that was your father's that has given to you and is not even yours, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood that will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. This is probably a reference here to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They'll be eunuchs. They won't even have a legacy of children to pass things on to. This is what's going to happen because you proudly showed all of the things that you thought were yours. I believe the reason that his son Manasseh and Amon, his grandson, the reason they had so much problems is because of how Josiah responds to what Isaiah says here in verse 19. What would be your response for what Isaiah just told you? Here's what Hezekiah's response was. The word of the Lord you have spoken is good, Hezekiah replied, for he thought, will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? We read that several weeks ago in our reading, and I thought that is so sad. No thought whatsoever of offspring. No thought of giving them a physical legacy. No thought of giving them a most important spiritual legacy. It'll be okay in my lifetime. Everything will be good. I'll keep these riches in my lifetime. I think this is the downfall of Hezekiah. Pride and self with no thought of a legacy you are leaving to your children or your grandchildren, either physical or spiritual. Shortly after this, Hezekiah had his son, Manasseh. Manasseh was born after this, who then had his son, Amon, and they were both evil. Because unfortunately, Hezekiah didn't heed the advice that Solomon had wrote in Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his grandchildren. Consider your spiritual legacy. If you died tonight, what would people say you left behind? Not in possessions, but in faith. Will your legacy help this congregation grow stronger? Or will it make it weaker? Would God mention you in the Hebrews 11 chapter of Pleasant Hill? Will you be credited with future good, as Paul did for Timothy's mother and grandmother when he said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice. And now I am persuaded lives in you also. Three generations of a legacy. 2 Timothy 1 and 5. We have approximately 21 children under the age of 13 in this congregation. That's a praise God. And we're excitingly adding a few more in the next couple months. If you are a parent or soon to be a parent of one of these children, it's decision time. It's decision time. To quote the people when John the Baptist was born, what manner of child shall this be? What manner of child shall this be? You as parents will decide. It was the reason that God chose Abraham. The reason that God chose Abraham. Genesis 18:19, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him, his spiritual legacy." It's called intentional parenting. Intentional parenting. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Read them stories about Jesus before they go to bed. Teach them how to read using the Word of God. Sing to them, "Jesus loves me." Sing to them, "Jesus loves me," from the moment they are born. And then train them up to believe it. To believe it. It's not just a song. As you're driving down the road or taking them to school, let the car be filled with song. "He's my king." Just a little talk with Jesus. "Sing to me of heaven." And on the day when they finally decide to join in with you, don't hide from them the excitement and joy that you have. It's okay to act excited if they hit a home run or score a goal. Just act more excited when you see them reading the Bible. Don't be confusing in your faith. Don't be inconsistent in your faith. Be steadfast, unmoving in your faith. They need a rock. And yes, when the child has a bad day and discipline is necessary, be brave. Follow the Lord's prescribed methods of discipline. God is not a liar. He told us how to do it because it works. I know it's not pleasant for anyone. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Later on it will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Finally, to you young parents, I would have you consider the words of David. Psalm 78. Print this out. Put it on your refrigerator. "O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments." It's decision time. Consider the legacy. What about the rest of us who are beyond those child-raising years? How can we continue building our spiritual legacy? I'd like us to consider 2 Timothy 3:14-17. "As for you, Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It is profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is how we work on our spiritual legacy. Stay in the Word. Study the Word with your fellow believers. It instructs you how to be righteous. It equips you for good works. In other words, it helps you to continually build your spiritual legacy. What you are leaving behind to this congregation, to your family, to the church. If the church is convened and the Lord is among them, as he said he would be, make sure you are also in the house. What if the Lord returns and finds you outside with no oil in your lamp? Don't you want to be with the brethren? If the Lord happened to return when they were convened, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Giving your spiritual legacy to one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, 23-25. I said earlier that last week we finally put our will together. It was a mistake. Every year we hadn't taken care of it, with potentially very serious consequences. It was a mistake. That's in the past. I'm not going to dwell on that mistake I made for 55 years. The time to do the right thing, to refocus on your spiritual legacy, is now. It's always now. This is when we refocus. Too many of us let the mistakes of our past paralyze us from moving forward. We have mistakes in the past. We have things we could have done better. We all do. Acknowledge it, get over it, and let's move forward. What can I do now? What can I do to improve? What's one thing you can do right now? What's one thing you can do right now to strengthen your spiritual legacy? Or your family, or this congregation, or the church as a whole? I'll leave you with this suggestion, found in Deuteronomy 4 and 9. So be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart. As long as you live, teach them to your children and to their children after them. Consider your spiritual legacy this morning as we stand and sing the invitation song.